Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio. Welcome to This Miraculous Life on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Oliveri Olumba, and I am here with the always amazing Alexia Brown, our studio engineer. So I started this podcast because my hope for myself and everyone listening, everyone in the world actually, is to be able to fully connect with the miraculousness of life. I think that life is a profound opportunity, gift, thing to just participate in and to be able to tune out all of the bullshit that gets in the way of us being able to participate and appreciate this miraculous life. So, I am a life coach and my academic background is in positive psychology. So, that is very much integrated into the show. And each episode, we typically hear from a listener who's written us a letter about something that is going on in their miraculous life and questions that they have about how to deal with it, about how to prevent it from getting in the way of their attunement with the miraculousness of life, or just building on it to get even closer to that awesomeness of life itself. So today we have a really unique letter that is from someone who has called themselves Ugly Duckling. And I'm excited to read you guys the letter, but I have to admit that this letter was challenging for me. So I'm really thankful that it was sent in and that I have the opportunity to respond to it. So here we go. You ready to hear from Ugly Duckling, Alexia?
I am ready. Let's go.
All right. Let's hear from he or she. I can't remember if they said their gender. Dear Sarah, is my appearance holding me back? I am confident and capable, but I know that I am not what would be considered traditionally attractive. I'm short with pale skin and I carry a bit of extra weight. My nose curves off center, and even in my 30s, my complexion not infrequently flares up with bouts of acne, no matter what treatments I try. I can deal with falling outside the quote-unquote normal standard of beauty, but I feel like my appearance is holding me back in other areas, and I don't know how to deal with it. My dating market has never been great, although at times I've felt lonely, a lack of dates or romantic interests hasn't really impacted my life that much. What I'm more concerned about is my career. Like it or not, the research has shown that attractive people have more successful careers and earn more money. Now, approaching a mid-career experience level, it's hard to ignore the fact that I've been passed over for several promotions. Despite my strong performance reviews, I have not been assigned mentorship duties for new staff, nor have I been invited to play a bigger role in decision-making. In addition, I have noticed that several team members hired just a few years ago have already reached my pay grade, while I seem to be stagnating. I also do not fit into the office clique that often organizes social events outside of work. I am not super interested in being best friends with my colleagues, but not being included can't be good for my career. It's hard not to consider the possibility or probability that some missed opportunities may come down to my appearance. They say that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but what happens when the beholder is your boss and they decide how much money you make or what doors open? Beauty standards are no friend of mine, professionally or personally. How do you make peace with that? Sincerely, Ugly Duckling. Well, Ugly Duckling, thank you so much for writing to us. I have so much to say. And the first thing is that I'm proud of you because it sounds like in many ways you have accepted yourself and you are just frustrated with what's happening in your career and the possibility that it may be linked to your looks. I want to take a quick pause because this is such a big, important, I think weighty letter, and I want to see if I have any immediate reactions from my girl Alexia.
Hey, yes. Wow.
Any thoughts? Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. This is very weighty. A little, it touches me as well because I think I'm in my early 20s now and I'm thinking about like, what are the privileges and the mm-hmm. and the things that are granted to me that helps me to propel myself forward in my career mm-hmm. and the things that I want. And I think about looks all like, I don't want to say all of the time, but it's definitely something that I think about. Like when I come to work here at the Fabulous Line Hotel, like, I'm like, what am I going to wear? What am I going to look like? What are the things that people are going to perceive of me?
Right.
I think that it's especially important for people who identify as women. And I don't think we learned from this letter who Ugly Duckling is.
That's correct. Yeah. We don't know if this is a man or a woman. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is real. And I'm really excited to hear what you say. And of course, I'm going to be here to react to all of it. But yeah, it's huge. I think that there are other listeners who are tuned into this as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Absolutely. So... Yeah. So I am totally with you, Alexia. I too think about my appearance. I think I don't know anybody who doesn't. And to the point that has been talked about in many episodes prior to this one, I think that for a lot of people, appearance is not only a demon, but also a contingency of self-worth, a criteria by which they measure their value and how much value they have as compared to other people, which in case you haven't been listening to earlier episodes, contingencies of self-worth are always false. They're always an untruth because the truth is that our value is innate, inherent, unchangeable, immeasurable. So there are no contingencies of self-worth when we are attuned with the truth, right? But in our minds, we create these criteria on which we believe our worth is staked. And appearance is one that shows up for a lot of people. As Alexia said, particularly for women, but also for men, for sure. So, Ugly Duckling, the first thing that I want to say to you, which it may or may not come as a surprise, but here's what I have learned through understanding what it means to have contingencies of self-worth, in particular, what it means to have a contingency of self-worth around appearance, which, by the way, from your letter, I don't think that you necessarily do, but I do. And I wonder if a lot of people listening might. So I think that your letter is a great opportunity to share this information. And what I want to share about appearance and beauty is this. So the general mantra that I hear being preached is that the goal is to get to a place where you believe that you are beautiful, right? The goal is to get to a place where you see yourself as looking good, right? Where you're able to see the parts of yourself that you do find good looking and celebrate and embrace and be able to reflect those parts of yourself. And there was a commercial by Dove. Actually, Dove, I think, does a lot of commercials like these. But there was one that was really popular where they basically asked women to describe what they look like. And the women... basically, the whole commercial was about how the women would describe what they looked like, and then someone would draw them, and they would draw someone who was uglier than what the woman actually looked like. Okay, so it was this whole statement of kind of really criticizing or drawing attention to how aware we are of the parts of ourselves that we find imperfect, right? Or that we don't think are the most good looking. And then the sort of resolution at the end of the commercial was that the women were like, I am beautiful. You know, I own that I actually am better looking than I thought. And I have a friend who I think is incredibly wise, who shared something on Facebook about this commercial. And she said, I do not like this commercial because this commercial is essentially shaming women for saying that they're not that good looking. And her point was, so what if I'm not that good looking? Why can't I be aware that I'm not the best looking person and be fine with that? Right? Why do I have to say, I'm beautiful? I am good looking. Why can't I just say, actually, you know what? I'm aware that I am perhaps slightly less good looking, or I'm a regular looking person, right? I am aware that my looks are not my strength. Okay? Right? And that's fine with me because there is so much more to me and to life than being good looking. So I found that to be incredibly profound. And I believe that when it comes to having appearance or good looks or physical beauty as a contingency of self-worth, that is the only way to liberation. And so the route to liberation from caring and attaching our appearance to our worth is not to establish a self that believes it is good looking, right? The route to liberation is to establish a self that is okay, whether it is good looking or not. And so I say, you know, sure, it can hurt. It can feel kind of like a hurt to the spirit, particularly if somebody thinks that they are less good looking than what other people think they are. But to me, the real crux comes in when we're talking about, okay, however good looking a person thinks they are, what is their level of attachment to that? Because I think, and Ugly Duckling, here's what I want to share with you. The ultimate goal is not to learn to embrace our good looks, right? Or learn to see our good looks. That's fine, but it's not the route to liberation. It's neither good nor bad, in my opinion. The route to liberation is to be genuinely okay with ourselves and with our inherent value and worth, regardless of whether we are good looking or not. So to me, it is a very important skill to develop to be able to walk into a room and say, you know what? I'm not one of the best looking people here. And I don't give a shit. That doesn't faze me. That doesn't affect me. I'm cool. I'm still me. My value, my worth, myself doesn't come from being good looking. Okay? So that's number one. And Ugly Duckling, I feel like you're already a good part of the way there. And I want to really commend you on that because from the way you've written this letter, it sounds like you embrace yourself, you embrace your looks. The reality is we don't know what you look like, right? So we don't know if the way that you're describing yourself is akin to this Dove commercial that my friend was like, wait, this is bullshit. Why are we shaming women for not saying like, oh, I'm so good looking. I love my face, right? Who cares if you have a face that is, that, and you do have a crooked nose and maybe, you know, a crooked teeth and big ears and whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. If you are a person who, when somebody looks at you, the first thing they say isn't, oh, you're so attractive, then why shouldn't that be fine? You know, why shouldn't we be able to be honest with ourselves about our strengths and our attributes? And if one of those strengths and attributes is not our looks, why is that more important than other strengths and attributes that may not be the ones that we possess, right? Like, there's plenty of people who are not excellent at public speaking, right? Or who are not the best writers, or who are not the friendliest, right? All of those things are things that are strengths. And if somebody doesn't have that strength, we embrace it. We're like, okay, yeah, it's probably good that you acknowledge that your writing isn't great and you can work on it if you want, right? But looks is one of those things that, for some reason, if somebody says, yeah, I'm not the best looking, we assume that that means they don't like themselves. And that is part of the problem with our society. We put so much stock in looks and appearance that just because somebody says, oh yeah, my looks are not my strength, or I'm not the most attractive, we assume that that is a reflection of self-hatred. And that is not necessarily true. All that shows is how much stock the listener is putting into appearance, right? So the bottom line there is that, to me, the ultimate goal is not to embrace your good looks, right? Or find out how beautiful and good looking you actually are. The ultimate goal is to be fine, whether it turns out that you are good looking or not, right? Because good looks ultimately is not an important part of being a good human being. Okay, so let me take a quick pause and see if Alexia is feeling me, understanding that particular point. Because like I said, it's kind of outside the normal suggestion of the goal is to notice how beautiful you really are.
Yeah, you just said some radical stuff. And I like it. At first I was like, ooh, okay. But because I think that that's an important first step into disentangling why... and I'm not saying we have to get into this now, but it made me think about this new frame of thinking helps us to disentangle why is it that looks are like good looks are valued, which is what I think this person is talking about in the sense of like maybe they're not valued at work because they don't have the looks. As a society in general, why is it that looks are even valued in the first place?
Right.
So what you said is that like it's fine, like whatever you look like, does that even matter? Is that representative of your soul and the person that you are and the work that you put in to be a good person?
Amen. Speaking my language, yeah. Alexia. Yes.
So yes, I like it, and I'm here with you. I'm on the train.
I feel what you just said. So thank you for that. Yeah, and I appreciate that. This concept has been radical to me as well. And I'll share a quick tidbit that might be relevant, which is that I mentioned, Ugly Duckling, that attractiveness is one of my contingencies of self-worth. So it is a criteria on which I evaluate and link my worth, and that makes me feel shitty, you know? Sometimes it makes me feel elevated when I'm like, ooh, you know, I look good. And then I feel kind of inflated. There's kind of like a high there. But at the same time, there is a part of me that has felt, you know, when I'm not at my most attractive, when, you know, I have my hair in a bun, which is all of the time nowadays, when I'm not, you know, wearing something that highlights my physique, then I can feel inferior, right? And it came to a point where I was like, I learned about contingencies of self-worth, and I was like, oh, this is one that I have, and that's not cool. And I set for myself an intention, which was that for my birthday 2 years ago, I decided that I wasn't going to wear any makeup for 1 year, not even a drop of makeup. And I wasn't wearing a lot of makeup before that, but the reason why I decided to do this was actually specifically to get to this goal that I'm talking about, which is not the goal of believing in my beauty, but the goal of being able to be comfortable and fully show up as myself in a room where I was aware that I wasn't the best looking person in the room, or even one of the better looking people in the room, or where I didn't feel as put together. Basically, where I felt like my appearance was not one of the top, right? I felt like definitely in this room, I am not one of the most attractive people. And I felt that it was important for me to do that, to liberate myself from feeling the need to be attractive, right? And to present myself as attractive. And I knew that if I committed to not wearing makeup for a whole year, there would be at least a few events, engagements, you know, opportunities, presentations, parties, etc., where it was very likely that I would be the only woman in the room without makeup. And so in ways, and in the past, right, that would have always made me feel inferior. And the reality is that it was not, like, I had my first TV appearance in the first year that I did this challenge. And when I first set the challenge, I had actually made a contingency for my contingency, which is ironic, and said, oh, I will wear no makeup unless I have a big, you know, live appearance where they tell you the story that you have to wear makeup. Otherwise the camera won't like see your face. Apparently it's a myth, I learned. Or if I had a photo shoot, because I learned the same myth about that. But when I got asked to go on television, I was like, okay, you know what? It would be a real fucking cop out if I wear makeup on TV when my whole idea for this year is that I am trying not to put stock in my appearance. That would be ridiculous. So I didn't wear makeup, and you know, it was just so liberating because I can't say, oh, I didn't care at all what I looked like. I like washed my hair, you know, and I didn't have toothpaste on my face, but some of that is hygiene. I wore a nice shirt, so I'm not saying don't care about your presentation at all, but basically going on to that show and not thinking about my makeup, not thinking much about my appearance, right? Just wearing something that I felt comfortable in, wearing my face and wearing my hair. Then that was it. That was me. And I was like, cool. So this feels kind of risky because maybe I'm going to look ugly, you know, maybe I'm going to look hideous on the camera. And okay, that is what it is. I've committed to not doing anything to try and enhance my look. But I've committed to not doing anything. So it's not worth putting any more thought into. And I have to say what I have to say. So I'm going to go and say what I have to say. And however I look doing it is just how I look doing it. And instead of having my TV appearance be about how do I look? How do I look? How do I look? What are people going to think of my looks? Are people going to think I'm inferior? Are people going to think I'm bad looking? Blah, blah, blah. All of that was erased from my mind because I had forced myself to commit to not doing anything to contribute to my appearance on that TV appearance. And so all I could think about is what I had to say and what people would think of what I had to say, right? So I share this example just to say that the ultimate goal of being less attached to what you look like, as opposed to the ultimate goal of believing that you are beautiful looking, is something that I have been working on in my own life. And it has been tremendously liberating. And I cannot explain to you how much time and mental energy I feel like I have been able to reclaim by setting out on this project. So that's that. So, ugly duckling, now that we have that cleared up, number two is that you're talking about what it sounds like is your perception of discrimination in the workplace. So I want to read a couple of lines. You said, I feel like my appearance is holding me back in other areas. You said, I'm concerned about my career. Research has shown that attractive people have more successful careers and earn more money. You said, you know, I have not been invited to take on mentorship duties for new staff, to play a bigger role in decision making. And you've noticed that some people who started after you have already reached your pay grade. And you also mentioned that, you know, you're not part of the office clique. What happens when, if beauty is in the eye of the beholder is your boss. So here's what I have to say, ugly duckling, on this. So I want to acknowledge you. I want to say, yeah, you know, privilege is real. I want to create space for that and for how frustrating that is, right? Just period, that privilege is a real thing. Discrimination is a real thing. Ugly duckling, we don't know too much about you, right? We don't know where you're from. You know, we don't know what your first language is. We don't know what ethnicity you are. We don't even know if you're male or female. And so what I want to say to you about this second part, which is your appearance holding you back in your career? Is your boss making decisions based on your appearance? And what I say to you is this, maybe, you know, it is not unlikely that you, if what you're reflecting to us in terms of your appearance is accurate, it is not unlikely that you have faced some discrimination in your career. And the truth is that many people experience discrimination, right? And so what I want you to think about is a couple of things, ugly duckling. Number one, like I said, we don't know a lot of other things about you. So we don't know if, in addition to being an ugly duckling, you also happen to be a white male, right? And so maybe you are, maybe you aren't. But if you are, what I want you to be aware of is not just the ways in which you are discriminated against, but also the ways in which you are privileged, right? Socioeconomic status is a form of privilege. So the forms of privilege are countless. And ugly duckling, what I want you to notice is that I'm kind of going out on a limb here. And so, but at the same time, I think most of us have at least one privilege, right? Privilege can even be having parents who were attentive in your life, right? And so, ugly duckling, I want to acknowledge the ways in which it is probably true that you are being discriminated against. Okay, I want to really acknowledge that. But I also want to encourage you to not focus exclusively on the ways in which you are discriminated against, but to also acknowledge the ways in which you may be privileged, right? Because if there is any way in which you are privileged, there are other people around you who are struggling with being discriminated against or disadvantaged because of that same privilege that you have, right? And some of those people might be really good looking, okay? And so some of the people who have the privilege that you do not have, which is your good looks, may be struggling with other disadvantages. So I want to acknowledge that. And then the second thing is that when it comes to privilege, I believe it's important to acknowledge all of the privileges that we do have, but also to be aware of the ways in which we may be discriminated against. And when we are aware of the ways in which we may be discriminated against, the goal is not to say that what we want for ourselves is impossible because of the discrimination we face, right? The goal is to prepare ourselves to overcome that hurdle, right? So I was talking about this. I was talking about your letter, Ugly Duckling, with my husband last night. And my husband is a Black man. And one of the things that my husband said is, okay, so if this person is not so good looking and they're afraid that that might hold them back in their career, so, you know, if there was a Black person who wanted to open a business, you would never say to that person, well, you shouldn't open your business because people might discriminate against you, right? So the reality is people probably will discriminate against that Black person who is opening a business. However, that it is by opening that business and succeeding in that business that that person liberates others, right? Liberates themselves, but also shows that it is possible to succeed and to grow in the ways that we wish to grow in spite of discrimination, right? And so this is such a complex issue, but I think one of the big things that I'm trying to say is that it's important to acknowledge the ways in which you might have to work better, harder, stronger, longer than other people who have an advantage that you don't. In your case, being good looking. But you can be willing to work better, harder, stronger, longer. And if you do, then you can still have, you can, by doing that, you can grant yourself access to the things that to somebody who has a privilege that you don't, they might have easier access to it, you know? And the other thing that happens when you do that is that you uplift everyone else who is struggling with the same form of discrimination or disadvantage that you are struggling with, right? So let me take a pause. Alexia, our studio engineer, has shared before that she is a Black woman. So I would love nothing more than to get her take, her opinions, agreements, disagreements right
cool.
now.
Sarah, you're so cool for that, first of all. Yes, what you said is very important. I think about this all the time as a Black woman who is trying to do so many things.
Yeah.
And while ignoring all of these systemic barriers and like right. thinking about the people who fill these spaces and how will they react to me. So when I think about privilege, I think that privilege gives you a lot of things. It gives you the opportunity to do risk taking that and know that you'll mm-hmm. probably be okay because mm-hmm. you have all these privileges. So right. I do want to acknowledge right. that maybe in a workspace, it might feel a little daunting if you feel like you are disadvantaged to ask for a raise or to ask right. for another opportunity because it's harder to take risks when you don't have that privilege. Right. Totally understand that. However, I personally have committed my life very recently to acting as if I have all the confidence of an attractive, rich, white man. And
this is the best thing I've ever heard.
I mean, and it's not a concept I came up with myself. I kind of discussed it with some other young women of color in my life. Really, it's like, I think that that privilege just grants you confidence.
Right.
But confidence isn't conferred to just, you know, one type of person, a couple of types of people. Right. You can still act with that same confidence and ask for the things that you want.
Right.
And so I'm saying that in balance with my precursor about risk, but that is what you said had inspired me to think about and that I think might be very powerful words for this ugly duckling. Because my question is like, do you try to get a promotion? Do you try to put yourself out there and demonstrate all these amazing things that you probably have as strengths and skills?
Right.
So that's my challenge. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Yeah. And what you said, I mean, I think you're hitting on the most important parts, which is acknowledgement that there are more risks, there are more challenges, more effort might have to be put in, you know, but at the same time, like you said, behaving with all of the confidence of a wealthy, good-looking white man. And so if you behave in that way, then you may have to put more effort, right, and jump through a lot more hoops than that white man actually would. In fact, that is like what is going to probably happen, but you'll be headed in the direction that you want to be headed, and you'll be finding ways to get those hoops out of the way or remove those barriers. And so I like this idea that also risk taking is necessary, and that when you don't have a certain privilege, it becomes riskier to take the risk. But I think another, Alexia, I think you gave some great examples for the ugly duckling of things that they would be doing if they were behaving with the confidence of somebody who has a privilege that they may lack, which is asking for a raise, asking for a promotion, you know, promoting and advocating for themselves. And what I would also say, and this too is a risk, and, you know, we can find ourselves in environments where we are consistently struggling with the same problem. But another example, I think, of a risk that can be taken is, you know, when it comes to privilege and discrimination, some people are more against us than others, right? And so if you find that your boss is somebody who is against people who are not attractive, then it may be worthwhile to take a risk of finding an advocate or finding an environment or finding a new boss who you feel is more open to you, right? So that's just an example of another risk that we may be willing to take. And so this whole acknowledgement that, yes, there probably is an aspect of privilege here, and at the same time, there are so many people in our world who are struggling with their own lack of privilege in a certain area, and yet that does not mean that they can count themselves out from achieving greatness, right? And when they do achieve greatness, that is 100 times more inspiring, more powerful, more contribution to the world than a wealthy, good-looking white man who achieves greatness, right? So I want to say that, which leads directly into the final point, which is ugly duckling. So if you find that indeed you are being discriminated against in your career because you're not the best looking, we believe that you can achieve greatness anyway. You may have to work harder for it, right? You probably will have to work harder for it, but that doesn't mean you will never get there. And to me, something that is important along the way of getting there is to accept yourself as is, even if it means accepting the extra effort and the extra challenges that you incur by looking like you. And here's why. If you decide that because you're being discriminated against in your career, because you're not having as many opportunities for promotion, you know, maybe you want to be a famous movie star. If you're not getting booked for roles, if you decide to change yourself, to change your nose, to change your chin, to change your cheeks, to change your body, right? Through, let's say, surgical means, right? If you decide to intervene and give yourself a new face, then you are actively investing in a system that holds people who look like you down, right? So, you know, I know that this is, that's kind of a big statement to make, but the truth is, if you keep yourself, right? If you keep your crooked nose, if you keep your pale skin, you know, acne is one thing because it can be considered a medical issue. Maybe your skin will clear up, maybe it will not. But if you're honest about your acne, right, then what will happen is that when you achieve greatness, everybody who relates to the things that you have as part of you, your crooked nose, your body size, your acne, everybody who has those things, they will have it a teeny bit easier, right? In the next generation. But if you change those things about yourself, then everybody who looks like you will look at you and say, oh, so that means this is impossible for me because I have a crooked nose, you know, because I'm not skinny, because I have acne, because my skin is pale, right? So this is why, to me, it is important for us to embrace ourselves as is. Because by embracing ourselves as is, we divest from a system that doesn't embrace us as is, right? And by changing ourselves, we invest in a system that doesn't embrace us as is. So if this is something that comes to your mind, ugly duckling, this is what I have told myself, right? And this is what I believe, you know, because when I look at famous people, when I look at people who have been really successful in their careers, you know, I can't say that I'm not good looking, right? I can't say that. But there are parts of myself that I'm self-conscious about. When I see someone who is successful and famous, who has a long pointy nose, that empowers me, right? When I see everyone who's famous who has a button nose, that makes me feel like, oh shit, okay, so like not, things are not possible for somebody who has a long pointy nose. But that's, there are people who have done it before me. And guess what? That does make it easier for me. If none of them had, okay, then maybe I can be the first. I like to believe that I would be strong enough to do that, okay? But there are people who are not good looking who have done it before you, who've been successful in whatever they do. And if you do it next, you not only empower others, but you also empower yourself, you know, and the person who you are in this moment. So let me take a quick pause and check in with Alexia on this point.
Yes, all the way yes. And it speaks to a good point about the way that so I'm talking about like going into spaces and doing things that I know might be risky. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't just do it for myself. I'm right here, you know, engineering, like I'm a sound engineer, what, you know, a white dude's job. but because I think it's important right for people to know that it's accessible to everyone. It's not, you know, there's not something right special about the people who you see doing it. And even if there's something special, that something special is in all of us, you know, right, you just have to tap
everyone
into
has
it.
Something special.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I love it. It's a good point.
Thanks, Alexia. Mm-hmm. So those are the three main things I want to summarize. We have to wrap up, but I also want to say that there are also many people, the truth is there are also many people who have made changes to their body who I deeply respect. Okay. And so that is also the truth. One thing that stands out to me about people who have made changes to their body, who I do deeply respect, is that they are open and honest and real about it. And to me, that shows two things. It shows that they, in spite of making these changes to their body, they are not ashamed of the person that they were before these changes were made. And so there is a level of self-acceptance there. So that feels important to me. And then also because being honest about it, you know, perpetuates truth instead of perpetuating myth that, you know, this is just how everybody ought to look naturally coming out of the womb. I think that when people are honest about it, it just perpetuates reality that this is an option for people to choose if they want to take certain interventions, but that, you know, maybe there's a handful of people who are born this way, but that the average person is not. And so I do want to say that because it's true that there are people who I respect who have made changes to their body. So the three key points, Ugly Duckling, are this. Number one, the ultimate goal is not to embrace your good looks, right? Or find yourself in a place where you're like, you know what? I am beautiful looking. No, the ultimate goal to me is to embrace yourself as is and to see your own value and feel okay in yourself regardless of whether you find that you are good looking or not. Okay. Number two is acknowledging privilege, acknowledging that it is probably true that this is an area in which you are not privileged and therefore you may have to work harder, better, stronger, longer, but also that it is possible to succeed in spite of that, right? And that there may be areas in which you are privileged and this just not is that area, but there may be other privileges that you have that people around you who are good looking are struggling with, right? And then number three, that in spite of acknowledging that your looks may in ways hold you back, right? Or cause people to discriminate against you or mean that you have to work harder than the people who are good looking, I encourage you to embrace yourself as is. And rather than change your look, to do that extra work, because in embracing yourself as is and becoming successful in spite of not being the most attractive person in the room, you, like I said, divest from a system that keeps down people who are not the best looking person in the room, and you invest in yourself and other people who feel that they're having the same challenge as you. And there's tremendous value in that. So thank you so much for listening today. I really appreciate this letter from Ugly Duckling. And I hope that it felt as much of a great reminder for everyone listening as it did for me personally. Have a miraculous day. And as always, send us your letters, questions, thoughts at sarah@thismiraculouslife.com.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.